A reading from Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Martin Fronsman, the writer of many hymns such as "Thy Strong Word," "Preach You the Word," and countless others that are just in Lutheran service book alone, preached a sermon on Reformation one day where he said, "Theology must sing." And when you think about the biblical canticles, which we're looking at this Advent and also for our children's Christmas program here in 2 weeks, this is the case. The Holy Spirit gives faith, and this faith confesses. It's no coincidence that most of the prayer offices, such as Matins and Vespers, begin with Psalm 51:15, as it states, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." The creative word of God produces the beautiful fruit of singing God's goodness and the truth of his word. So yes, theology must sing. Now the Magnificat has been sung by the church for centuries and for good reason. The Magnificat proclaims the work of God in vivid ways and shows the great reversals God does for his people in Christ. And notice the poetic way this is shown in what Mary proclaims in the Magnificat. And she draws upon the language of countless psalms or even the Song of Hannah in the Old Testament. So listen again to what St. Luke recorded by divine inspiration. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And so we see God does what man cannot do. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. God himself worked this miracle, and in the womb of the Virgin, God himself dwelled. Our closing hymn, written sometime in the 300s by St. Ambrose, says it well when he wrote, and we will sing in a few minutes, "Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne." And so God looked with favor upon Mary out of his grace and mercy toward her. She's called blessed, not because of any virtue or righteousness of her own. No, she was a sinner and needed a savior, just as she said in the words of the text. The son conceived in her womb was by the Holy Spirit, who was her savior and your savior too. And John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, right as the beginning of our reading picked up today. The Savior of the nations had come. He is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. And so the church rightly honors Mary as she has this special role in history. She is your sister in the faith, who was a saint on account of Jesus. Her words in the Magnificat then not only teach you how to praise the same Lord she bore in her womb, and even give the words to sing, but they even give the words to sing with the boldness as God's people. Her song, her confession are your song and your confession of Christ. And following in the example of Mary, you look to your Lord who has done great things for you and continues to do so. And so this canticle in many services of the church and in various settings as well, all sings and rejoices in proclaiming the same God whom Mary bore in her womb as she spoke in those words in the reading this evening. And so take to heart these words today as your Lord speaks to you. Consider the words of the Magnificat. The beauty in these words is seen in the one who does the actions. God is the one who acts for his people. In some ways, too, the Magnificat is a summary of the whole scriptures as God's mercy shown to his people through the ages. And it's nothing insignificant, for it's the same Lord who created all things, as the same Lord promised in Genesis 3:15 after the fall into sin that he would send a Savior. God spoke those words of condemnation to the serpent and redemption for his people. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So God promised from the seed of the woman would come one who would put enmity between man and the devil, who would restore what had been lost. And God would come to his own and save the people who sinned against him. Likewise, in Isaiah 7, God reiterated, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And these are not isolated, but throughout the entire Old Testament scriptures, God promising his people, promising their Savior would come to them, even as God was showing his rebellious, sinful people mercy and forgiveness. And blessed is the one who believes this fulfillment in the person of Jesus. God was scattering their enemies, even when God's people suffered, even when they were being disciplined by him at the hands of a foreign nation, the Lord was still taking care of them. And God's will was for their good, even unto life eternal. And the people looked in faith to the Lord who is their Redeemer. God was showing mercy to generation after generation of those who feared him, that is, those who trusted in the Lord your God. See yourself then and where you fit into all of this. When you look at yourself and you examine your life according to the Ten Commandments, God reveals to you that you have sinned against him. You rightly deserve death and hell. You see all these things in the canticles of the reversals of those who are turned against the Lord and what he does. But you also see what God teaches you about what it means to humble yourself before God, especially when our old sinful man wants to exalt ourselves. The sinful heart, will, and mind doesn't seek the things of God, nor can it know them. Only in the Spirit and faith worked by God can you see your sin and the mercy and forgiveness you have in Christ. As a Christian, you see this as well in your daily life when you look at where God has placed you. You consider the estate where you are, where you are called to live and serve your neighbor as you show mercy to others in your family, in your church, and in the world around you. You have compassion on those in need and seek to serve them, just as your Lord showed compassion. There's a humility in all of this too, that is the daily life of repentance, which turns from sin and clings to the forgiveness of Christ and the mercy that you've been shown. This is the baptismal life that trusts the Lord through his word, even as Mary confessed to the angel Gabriel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. let it be to me according to your word. And so this is your life in times of joy, your life in times of sadness, your life in times of suffering, your life in times of great rejoicing. He who is mighty, the Lord, has done great things for you, and holy is his name. He is set apart as your God, and you are his holy ones, set apart, who have this very holy name placed upon you in the waters of your baptism. So each day when you get up in the morning, you have the Lord who has called you by name, who has washed away your sin, and promises you that he will never forsake you, he will never abandon you, he will never put you to shame. Look at your Lord Jesus and see the fulfillment of all the Lord promised. See everything come to fulfillment in Jesus and see him as your mighty Savior. And behold Jesus, who laid aside his glory to humble himself for your sake. See the Lord who possesses all glory and majesty, yet came to his own and had no place to lay his head. Marvel and rejoice greatly at the one who lived perfectly obedient to the Father and gives you this righteousness by his grace alone. See the Christ who did not seek earthly riches, but sought to buy you, to ransom you with the price of his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death on the cross, to atone for your sin, so that you would be and are his own dear children. Rejoice in Jesus risen from the grave and proclaims to you that your salvation is won and is yours fully and completely. And see death for the defeated enemy it is, as you belong to Jesus. And so God has looked on you. Blessed are you. He has looked into the depths and has compassion. The Father sent forth his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary to take away the sin of the world. You, the lowly one, the sinner, are forgiven. You, the unrighteous, are now righteous. Gaze upon the crucified and risen Lord and see there, he is your righteousness. You, the one who moves towards death, see and know that you have eternal life. The mighty one has done great things for you. Fix your eyes on Jesus and see this every day. Rejoice in your Lord who has come, is here now, and comes to you in his word and sacraments. And rejoice each day knowing that as you sing the Magnificat in faith on this side of glory, the Lord promises you he is coming again. And on that glorious day, the day of resurrection, you will stand and you will see your Lord face to face. And standing with Mary, with Elizabeth, with John the Baptist, with all of God's saints, your singing, your rejoicing will not end. But no longer will it be surrounded by sin, death, and the assaults of the devil. No, you will magnify the Lord who has given you the victory and has given you the crown of glory which does not fade away. So theology must sing. With Mary, magnify the Lord. He has done great things for you in sending his Son. Greet him who came, who is here now, and is coming again. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.